Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everybody. Greetings to all who are joining us here on the Friday edition of the Andy and Amanda program. Welcome aboard. We have Amanda live in the UK. I'm here in California, United States. Together, we are the Andy and Amanda Show on Coast to Coast. It's a Friday show. Anything goes, everything goes, your calls. And I think Amanda's with us now. Amanda, you chimed in?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? How's it going there? You there? Hello, hello, hello? I heard her. We all heard her, right? We all heard her. She was there for a minute. Oh my, you know, internet radio, that's how it goes. Oh, Amanda, where did you go? I heard her for a second, but she'll be back, I'm sure. Anyway, folks, how are you all doing?
Boo, I'm back.
You're back. How you doing, baby?
Sorry,
how's
I think we
going?
Had a technical issue there. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear good. You good. I hear you good.
We're 8,000 miles apart from each other. 333 shows, the Andy and Amanda Show, California, UK. Talking about the news, talking about life, talking about relationships, talking about sports, talking about stock market, talking about film and television, spirituality and religion and jobs and careers and radio and, you know, everything, right? Yes.
Also, yes. Whatever gets thrown at us, right?
Whatever gets thrown at us, we talk, we're ready. We are, you know, and it's amazing. You know, we have a crew. We have Cornell Butler, who is might join us today. You never know. He's a show coordinator who introduced Amanda and I. He's on the East Coast. And he might just, he just might be joining us today. You never know. But we're doing what we do. We're doing what we do and because we enjoy doing what we do. And,
great working there and great doing what we're doing there and doing the things we're doing as long as we keep doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, where is the dude? Where is he? Is he on the line or is he going to call in?
Well, I don't know. He might be. We do have a guest joining us today from what I am told and what I hear. None other than the great Joe Richmond, who's been with the show a couple of times now. And to give you some background real briefly, Joe was a former member of the Harlem Globetrotters organization. He was a coach of the Washington Generals, which is the team that always plays the Globetrotters when they tour. So he coached them. And then he's also a referee of the Globetrotters, Washington Generals games. He's now an ambassador to the Philadelphia NBA team, which is called the 76ers. The Philadelphia 76ers, most of you in the United States don't know who they are. Well, around the world, the Sixers are pretty famous, I think. They've really made a name for themselves if you follow basketball. And he is with them and has a tremendous insight into the NBA, into basketball, into sports. And it's always great to have Joe Richmond back on board the show. And he should be joining us in about 30 minutes. So we'll look forward to that. Also, yeah, I'm not sure if Lee Van Dusen is joining us today or not. You never know. It is our Friday show.
Okay.
We typically do. Yeah, we typically, as you know, we do talk AMC squeeze stocks and so forth, which are doing just great over the last couple of days. I got to tell you, man, everything's just on the up. Everything's moving up. So good to see. So good to see if you invested
really
in AMC. Yeah, you're doing great right now. If you did BBIG, Vimco Ventures, you're doing real well right now. That's a squeeze, and that's happening right now, and I'm taking advantage of that and watching this thing go up, 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 and it's so much fun, so much fun. And it's funny
it
because
really
I bought BBIG a while ago, and it went down, down, down. I wasn't really paying attention to the squeeze. I didn't even know what it was about. I just heard somebody said BBIG. I think it was I monitor, like, the stock commentators on YouTube and so forth and kept hearing BBIG. I didn't even know what it was. I bought it and looked them up. It's Vimco Ventures. And so I bought it and it went way down, 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 way down, way down. Six, it went to, you know, down to $6 or something. I forget what I bought it at, 8, 9, 10, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that. And so I got out of it. You know, I said, this ain't happening. And then suddenly, boom, they had a shareholders meeting and this thing takes off like a hot air balloon yesterday. And I got right back into it, man. I'm riding it up. I got BBIG, folks. Take a look at it. Go. I'm getting into the stock portion of our show early, aren't I? You know, normally we
You are. You get so excited. It's okay, Andy. We don't mind.
We're in the money. Do I have that clip somewhere? We're in the money. Anyway, yeah, it's exciting because, you know, it's just neat to see how all this – I'm learning. You know, I'm a new investor. I'm a new retail investor. I don't use a brokerage firm. I don't use consultants. I'm not a financial advisor. None of us are on this show. We just kind of are excited about what we're all doing as retail investors. And Amanda's a retail investor. She's part of Ape Nation now, taking advantage of the AMC potential, which I think is underway.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, but fun. It is
scary.
And I think it's above 40 right now. You know, I think as I looked last time, I think AMC is up. It went down to 36. And I bought a bunch more. I forget how much more, but I bought more.
Oh.
Fantastic. I was down. I think I told you even last show I was, or the two shows ago, I forget when. But anyway, I was down quite a bit, and now I'm up. And I was started up. I started up like 31%, went down to 13%, then negative, and then a little positive, then negative. And when I mean negative for me, I'm talking about I'm up. You know, I don't have a fortune invested, so when I'm negative, I'm talking about being down a few hundred bucks or so. But you know, still, you know. Having never done this before, I'm like, oh, and it didn't bother me. I'm like, you know, this, you know, no one likes to see you losing money right in front of your eyes. Whoa, this is true. You know, but you know, you can't get emotionally. What I learned is you can't, you know, you take money that you really just sitting in your savings, you're checking whether you're not conscious of it. You have money in the bank. It's, you know, you go whatever, it's sitting there, and that's the money. You know, you don't take money that you used to live, to pay any of your bills with. You know, you take money that's, you know, expendable, whether you lose it or make something with it, it's okay. Either way, you invest it in a learning experience, and it's also fun. It's entertainment, but it's also an investment. You can actually do well if you learn, you know, watch how it's all done and you know, read some articles and get on YouTube and watch and listen to some of the commentators and see what's going on and what the good bets are and why, and do your research on those companies. You can really do something with this. It's better than going to the casino and just putting your money on black or red and taking a chance, you know, or 7 or 11,
yeah,
and see what happens at the crap table and just, oh, well, you know.
Isn't it funny, though, that we're drawn to the bright lights and the way the machines work and the sounds and everything like that and the thrill of being in that moment, taking that risk, like, is it going to happen? Is it not? All the while hoping it is going to happen, and then we get angry and upset when it doesn't. So it's kind of like, there has to be like this certain trap in place for us to be willing to, you know, throw some money that way. Like, we have to be enticed to do it. And I guess with like putting stuff, money into shares and stuff, it just looks way too scary because it's complicated words like we've discussed on previous shows and all this terminology and, you know, the big wigs, you know, they deal with it all and it's a huge deal. And so people think, oh, no. I'm not going to put my money into something like that, something I know nothing about. And I guess it's the thought of having to educate themselves as well with this and not necessarily want to do. Whereas they walk into a casino, it's like, hey, this looks great. Oh, that sounds fun. Listen to all the people enjoying themselves. I can have a drink. You know, it's like, oh, well, it's a different atmosphere. But, yeah, I think people should look into stocks more, definitely, because, you know, like I said to you before,
It's a lot more fun than going to the casino. It really is. I mean, it's fun. Especially if, again, you take my the advice I can give you, and that is you only, you know, invest, and that's what it is. You know, it's like gambling. You're investing. I guess it's a form of betting on a company doing well or a stock going up or squeeze taking place. That is a form of a bet, I suppose. If you technically,
I think
it's a heck of a lot more fun than, as you just said, you're on the casino and getting all, you know, the razzle dazzle, the slot machines and the noise and all that. For me, I kind of, you know, I did that, you know, I play a soundtrack of the casino floor on my computer, and I hired a couple of dancing girls to walk around with trays offering me free drinks. So I get that in my living room, you know.
That's the way to do the stock market. That's the way to do it.
and I have a smoke machine, you know, kind of give that smoke. You know, actually, there's no smoking casinos now, I think. But, you know, so I've got that whole thing going, and the soundtrack and the dancing girls and the whole thing. I've even, you know, I play music, rock and roll music softly in another room to make it sound like that's the casino bar, you know, with the live entertainment during happy hour. So I've got that going. Yeah, so I got the whole thing going here. I bought a crap table. I've got that sitting next to me here, so make it look like, you know, somebody's going to go there and play the crap table where I'm here. And I'm here. I'm investing in Tesla and making $100 a share in a couple of weeks. You know, boom.
I love the atmosphere. I love that idea. It's such a great idea. Guys, there you go. You had your first hint and you can make this fun.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be kind of fun? Wouldn't it be kind of fun? Imagine if you set your house up like a casino kind of, you know, like if you, you know, that if you, no, I don't know, that would be fun. But you know, the room that you do your stock betting in, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. I don't know.
I think my head's gonna explode just trying to think about it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Boy. Wow. I can't believe it's Friday already. It's just, is it me or is the week flown by?
It's
oh, wow. Who's that dude? I don't recall hearing that voice before. Got some energy.
Yeah, week flew by. It's gone by real fast, and you know, it's unbelievable. What's going on? Hey, you know, I there's some news going on. We should talk about that, and then we'll get to our show and have our guests come on. I don't want to die, and I'm not finished. I guess we should go in. We'll talk more about AMC squeeze and so forth like we do Fridays. But I'll go into just a little bit further. But we do have an agenda on the show, which we don't normally have. So we'll try to put everything in the appropriate time slot here. But first, and the BBC, there's news going over there. Some tragedy happened there today, your time.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Up on that.
Regarding David Amos. Yes.
Yeah.
Our,
do you know who he
MP. I do.
You know,
yeah.
Let's
yeah,
hear
so
about
he's,
that. Let's...
Yeah, he's been an MP for the Conservative Party for about 38 years. And
now, what is an MP? We don't, what's an MP?
It stands for Member of Parliament.
Okay.
So right. He does things like, you know, go out there and on a political basis and help the community and do things and bring it to government and sits on the backbench and puts ideas forward from the public on what they want to see changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they present these things to Parliament and government, and then government decide, okay, well, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to work on this, or we're going to deny this and blah, 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 blah. So that's what the role of an MP is. And bless him, he's a, from what I know of him, he was a fairly nice guy. I mean, I don't know much of him. I've never been hugely into politics, and our listeners know that. But yeah, he poor guy was stabbed multiple times today. Yeah, he's, and unfortunately he died. And he was
what
meeting
happened?
He was meeting his constituents at a place held at a church. And some guy, they think it's about a 25-year-old man, attacked him and stabbed him multiple times. They're still trying to look into the inquiry to see, you know, who this man was. Is there any kind of evidence that they can gather, like any footage that people have managed to capture, any witnesses as to what actually happened and the intention of this murder? Because at this point, nobody knows. And of course, you could throw all these things into the mix and say, oh, well, you know, it was a terrorist attack. It was... you know, all these like allegations that you can have, and they want to be very careful with this case and not immediately jump all over things. But yeah, so they're trying to get as much evidence as they can right now. And it's a very scary thing. And the poor guy, I mean, he was loved by a lot of people in the community and in government. He was seen as a real friendly guy. He's got, he's married, I think, 5 children. You know, he's been so committed to the people. Been bringing so much change. So, you know, I really feel for his family and everybody right now. Everybody was completely shocked by this. And, you know, we've had another MP that was killed a while back. I think it was
a woman,
5 or 6 years ago.
Fox,
yeah, Jo Cox.
Yeah, Cox.
From the Labour Party. Yeah. So that was a very tragic incident as well. That took everybody by surprise. So, you know, what's this guy's intention? Was he trying to, obviously trying to make a point of some sort? Mm. Well, that point is, I don't know, whether it's just anger and aggression at government for the way things are being carried out.
And he busted into this church with people all around and just started stabbing this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh yes. God. It's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
It's amazing.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
You know what's amazing is that people who commit this type of act, whether it be here with guns, there with knives, or wherever in the world, have such a disrespect and disregard for the sanctity of human life. You know, it just it's just unbelievable to me how somebody could go to the extreme of taking somebody's life, ending it. To me, you know, it just, I can't fathom how somebody could, you know, just, you've got to be, you've got to be sick. I mean, you've got to be, you got to be sick. There's got to be.
It makes me wonder if it was some sort of statement, because obviously these meetings, they call them surgeries. And it's where MPs gather in a certain place, like they have a little office. For this, it was a church hall or community center. And they talk about things like there's like long running disputes over housing and immigration and things like that. So, you know, they gather together, and quite often public can and drop in and speak to them. So this guy is obviously just like, okay, well, this meeting's going on, I'm going to go in. God knows what was in his mind. I don't want to put that out there, what his intentions were, but he's obviously gone in knowing that these MPs were there, and just, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to carry it out. And it's shocking, absolutely shocking. You know, our government are coming forward now and saying, you know, no amount of violence or threats, you know, will ever stop us from moving forward as a public, as a government, whatever that may be. Your actions are not going to change anything, you know, with this violence. So it's a very crazy time here. And this just kind of is the icing on the cake for everything that's been going on here in the UK. Because as you know, I've talked previously about the massive energy crisis we got, and not having enough drivers to come over into the country to deliver goods. And there's so much up in the air and so much fear in this country right now with everything that's going on. And maybe this guy has just flipped a switch and said, I can't take this bullshit anymore. You know, I'm just going to go in there and make a point. I've had enough. I don't know. But, you know, it's very scary times here. It's what it feels like, personally, very scary times, because our future here is so uncertain. And we're frightened of not being able to heat our homes, and then the elderly dying from this, you know, the cold, and you know, not enough jobs as well, because that's the issue as well. There's not enough jobs here, people losing their jobs. And, you know, Boris Johnson's trying to bring forward as much as possible new ways for us to have more jobs. And he's using the climate change as a way forward. So with green energy creating millions of jobs, supposedly 7.5, I think, million, or it could be 5-something million. I need to check those statistics, but... Yeah, he's, you know, he's trying to push that as much as possible. And so there's a lot of things that we're trying to do here as a country, especially with coming out of Brexit, trying to, you know, bring back our power and business again. So there's just it's overwhelming, Andy. It's very overwhelming. So this is just tragic, absolutely tragic today. Very tragic. But in terms of climate change, the Queen actually had a conversation with somebody. She was discussing how she was irritated at world leaders and saying about climate change that it's all talk, there's too much talk and not enough action. And to hear that actually coming from the Queen is quite, whoa, okay. Prince Charles is expressed in the media in the past several days about the climate change, something needs to be done, that people need to be a little bit more gentle with protesting. Although he respects it, you know, he's saying it isn't going to change anything. It's the leaders that can change things. And now the Queen is saying, well, hey, you know, I'm fed up with all this talk. These leaders need to get together, get their ass in gear and do something about this, because everybody is freaking out with all these things going on in the world. Earthquakes, you know, volcanic eruptions, everything that's going on, the wildfires. It's all coming to extremes now. And even the Queen's expressing it. So I find that, you know, comforting to hear that she was stepping up and saying, well, you know,
Is global warming an accepted fact there in general? Or the people?
Well, that's a very good question, Andy, and I think that's like a can of worms, because you've got the majority of people who say it's just a conspiracy, that the government use it to get money, you know, use it for power purposes, and then you've got the other half of people that genuinely believe this is such a huge concern and, you know, support it, go out there and protest, do all these things to be greener and make a good example. So you've got the two conflicting sides, like you do with pretty much everything that goes on in this world.
You know, what I don't understand completely is there's science that proves that global warming is a true phenomenon. It's actually happening. We are causing it with pollution, automotive, factory, manufacturing, our existence, is what we do as society. And we have visual evidence of this. Look at the ice, incredible, the poles and the glaciers melting and breaking apart, the sea level. And see what's happening. Some people could say, I guess, well, this would happen anyway. There's no conclusive evidence that we are creating this. But there is conclusive evidence to the extent that the rate of change, which we've been keeping track of for decades, for a very long time, you can measure the rate of change of all this. And you have little ups and downs and peaks and valleys, and okay, you do, earthquakes happen and things happen, blah, blah, blah. But in general, overall, the rate of change and how things are happening and icebergs breaking off and the temperature of the ocean and the ocean levels, the rate of these changes is significant comparatively.
Yeah.
And when you think of an nth degree of temperature change on the planet Earth has a significant impact on wildlife, on plants, on vegetation, on people, on, an nth degree, and we could talk about, well, 1 degree in 100 years, whatever it might be, but the impact of that is significant. It's huge.
Yeah.
People go a little bit. And there's so much science that supports that global warming is a real deal. It's not a conspiracy.
Yes.
It's not something made up. And we've talked about other things in terms of conspiracy. We've had many shows. We've talked nothing about conspiracy theories on here.
Mm.
We've done that deal. Election being stolen and other things, blah, blah, blah. But,
I think,
people believe, people dive into these world of what truly is an untruth and becomes their reality if they get enough people to agree that, oh, you agree with me? Oh, good, then it's real. See, we agree together. Let's be strong. And that becomes their reality, although that reality is not grounded in what's true and what's real. And that's...
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of anger about the fact that we're focusing on space, getting ourselves into space. And in fact, I've heard that so often, and I've even had that opinion myself. We're focusing too much on other planets and not ours. And ironically enough, with the Queen, who was chatting to the Duchess of Cornwall and a lady called Ellen Jones, which is Sened's preceding officer. And she says, the Queen is quoted to say, I've been hearing all about COP. I still don't know who's coming. So COP... 26 is the climate conference. And it says in a separate remark, we only know about people who are not coming, before adding, it's really irritating when they talk but they don't do. And then Miss Jones appears to reference the Duke of Cambridge in a reply to the Queen's remark, saying she had been watching him on television this morning, saying there's no point going into space, we need to save the Earth. And as much as I love the exploration of space and stuff, I believe that if we're putting Earth first and space second, we can have both at the same time. We can make this work. But
they're
absolutely right. We need to prioritize what's really important, the problem right under our nose, not something millions of miles away.
Yeah, so, I guess, if, I get that. I get that. I guess I've been one who's been deeply into astronomy and space and exploration, getting the hell off this planet and seeing what else is out there. And just because, why is it there? Why are we here? What's out? How does this all, it's, my gosh, nothing goes on forever and is getting bigger.
Yes.
But also the pharmacological significance of developments of what we've been able to develop and improve life on here on Earth by what has been done in laboratories and space is rather big. There's a lot of development. But now we're going to, the thing is to us, we're going to Mars. Well, you and I think we'll have to have lunch there someday.
I'm up for that. Let's do it.
We'll do that. But I guess from where I remember walking along a creek as a little kid and just looking up at the sky and realizing that you know, this Earth has been here for 4.8 billion years. The dinosaurs lived here for 60 million years or more.
Yeah.
This big dinosaur, 60. And we've only been bipedal. And our ancestors, where we evolved from, have only been here for you know, I'm going way back beyond our current form. When we first started, our earliest traces of our existence and development, it goes back about 4.5 million years. We've only been existing how we are now for about 200,000 years. And when you think about dinosaurs having lived here for 60 million years, and we look at ourselves as, but my God, 60 million years.
That's incredible.
They roamed this planet. They inhabited this planet. And what do we have to show for it now? Where they evolved, you know, if they came back now and they saw how they do, well, we evolved into a, I evolved into that as they looked down at a mouse. What? The big dinosaur Rex.
Yeah.
I evolved into that.
Incredible.
What the hell?
I mean, I'm all for the space program. I'm all for the exploration of it. I just think that, you know, it seems there's a lot of priority and a lot of money funded, or appears to be funded more in the space, because that's how it looks, right, to everybody else. Oh, look, they're pouring into this, all this money into space technology and doing all these things and exploring other planets, when majority of that money could be so useful to help with climate change.
Yep.
You know,
William Shatner just went into space yesterday, right? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Day before yesterday, whatever. You know, he just went into space. And, you know, no 90-year-old has ever gone before, you know.
How did he get on? Did he enjoy it, did he say?
Oh, my God, he was so emotional he got to see his interviews. Maybe I'll play it next week. He was so emotional just because. When you got, I've heard this several times, because now quite a few, you know, as a recent, ordinary citizens have blasted off into space and won, you know, SpaceX, the inspiration for citizens that spent 5 months training as astronauts, but they went up there and spent 3 days in the highest orbit that's ever been accomplished by humans outside of when we went to the moon. everybody comes down, the citizens, I mean, the astronauts are non-professional astronauts who come down and they look up at the sky, at the Earth, at the blackness of space, and look down at the Earth, and they see the volatility of this planet and this Earth, this magnificent rock. They're able to see a bird's eye view of this rock that's going around the sun that we all inhabit. And here's how I look at that. If the human species around the planet were able to join hands and have a common objective and a common goal to improve the quality of life for all of us, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your religious beliefs, regardless of everything, and we had something in common that we can strive for and ask questions and resolve those questions and forge ahead as a species, not as black, brown, or tan, or Indian, or Hindu, or Muslim, or Jewish, or Catholic, or whatever it might be, but as a species, how empowering that would be for our civilization.
Yes.
And to look up into the sky and here we are on this rock that's spinning at the equator of about 65,000 miles an hour. That's orbiting the sun at incredible speeds. That's been here for 4.8 billion years. It won't be here in 4.8 billion years from now. It will not be here. We will not. Nothing will be here. The sun will go into supernova. Bam. We're all gone. And to think of, you know, it's 4.8 billion years from now.
Wow.
Interesting thing is, just kind of getting to that just a little deeper, interesting thing is that, you know, more than likely an asteroid hit the planet Earth that exploded and formed a cloud that just engulfed the entire planet and suffocated almost every living form of life at the time. And that happened, and it took millions of years for that to dissipate. But what continued to survive was underwater life, you know, underwater life survived. And slowly but surely, you know, out of the sea comes the Andy and Amanda Show.
Yeah, right. Stepping onto the beach like crabs, baby.
Whoa,
yeah.
Hey, woo-wee. That was one hell of a ride.
It sure was.
God damn. Anyway.
That salt water was great for my skin. Damn.
Yeah, hell yeah. God damn. I was wondering when that smoke was going to disappear. Man. I like barbecue, but come on. Can we talk? Yeah. Anyway. But here, you know, that was, you know.
Please tell me that's not your plan.
Well, it wasn't, but here we are.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry to disappoint.
Really. Anyway, but so what was I saying? Do you remember?
Well, you know, I kind of got very excited about the fact that we emerged from the sea. But, yeah, he was just talking about the you know, the age of the planet and how long we've been here and so on and so forth.
Mm.
That's not sparked anything, has it? No. You know, they say all your best ideas.
They're hugging and kissing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you one of those people, Andy, where you sit on the toilet and you get a great idea? I'm not. I very rarely get great ideas sat on the toilet. No.
I never.
You hear it
a
lot, though. Yeah.
You know, you do. I'm not one that thinks about too much in the bathroom.
Well, you know, I used to think, what am I missing? I'd head to the bathroom and think, okay, so I want to be one of these people that has a great idea when I'm sat on the toilet. And it just didn't work for me. I don't know what I was doing wrong. Maybe using the wrong toilet paper or, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think. In the bathroom, what do I think about? I can't even think about what I think about. I don't even know. I never really thought about that.
Mine actually come to me. I get my great ideas in the very early hours in the morning. Something will just spark, boom, you know, and I'll be like, wow, yeah.
I get ideas when...
What is your porn fantasy, man?
Yeah, it's my...
Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I got my ideas. Oh, my ideas. you know, Trump has been caravanning around the country here and there giving speeches to reduce size audiences, but still out there campaigning. And there's some people, even though I think his base is diminished somewhat, it's continued to diminish. But and now there's these great big, I don't know if you've seen them yet. I should put some on our website or on our whatever it is. There's the Republican Party, some Republicans, not the Republican Party, but a group of Republicans have raised money. And there's a huge on New York Times Square. You know what that looks like? I remember in New York Times Square, the great big digital billboard, you know, on the corner of Times Square, 42nd Street, I think it is. There's a profile view of Donald Trump with gigantic print that says, Trump lost, no more audits. And now there's a billboard campaign spreading in every major city around the country. You're going to see billboards with Trump's profile and Trump lost, no more audits. And it's they're finally, you know, all over the country. Come on, people. The election was, whether you like Biden or not, we're much better off than we were in the 4 years with Donald Trump in office. I mean, can we talk? And we're still recovering from the hate and the division that he created in this country. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Despicable.
I know.
Dishonorable. Irrespectful.
It is.
Fraud.
It is.
Of a human being that was occupied our White House. Just, it's unbelievable to me. You know, and the funny thing is, just briefly, you know, he had this, he talks about what a great businessman he's, you know, what made him such a great businessman in his mind was the fact that he was such an incredible negotiator.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What he did was fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was just perusing the world news, and a brief cap. It says U.S. to lift travel ban on the 8th of November. Very, very cool. Fully vaccinated travelers will be allowed to enter the U.S. for the first time since March 2020. So that's going to happen. We've heard about suicide bombing hits Afghan mosque during prayers. Oh, not another one. Oh, no. That was 5 hours ago reported. Mob beats Kenyan child killer to death, police say. The police had launched a massive manhunt for Maston Wanyala, I think that's his name, who confessed to killing several children. Oh, my goodness. Nike executive. Yeah. Is it Nike or Nike?
Nike.
I get that thrown
Nike.
At me a lot.
Nike.
Okay, so
yeah,
here we
Nike.
Say Nike. Isn't that funny?
Oh, really?
Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, okay, Nike executive.
Well, don't you also say schedule instead of schedule? Don't you say schedule? Schedule? You say schedule?
No, I've always said schedule.
Oh,
but
I've heard it referred to
a lot as schedule.
Schedule, yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And tomato and tomato. Potato
yes.
and potato. So, yeah, Nike executive reveals he murdered 18 in 1965. Larry Miller, now 72, said he was in a gang as a teenager when he was shot, when he shot an 18-year-old man. Oh, wow. Norway probes bow and arrow suspect sanity. So psychiatrists examine a man suspected of killing 5 people with a bow and arrow
Jesus
in Norway.
Christ. Oh,
whoa.
Crap.
Whoa. This is some crazy stuff going on in the world. I just wanted to, you know, share some of those highlights with people. Please feel free to check those out.
Yeah, it really, here's, I want to dive back into just for a second to play.
Yes.
We were talking about Trump, his own self promotion as being the phenomenal businessman that he is because of his incredible skill, the art of negotiation to build his empire. But let's take a listen to his success story, shall we? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Trump's success stories. I'm the best businessman in the world because I know how to negotiate. Bought the Trump Plaza Hotel for $400 million, repossessed by the bank. Bought his yacht for $29 million, repossessed by the bank. Built 4 casinos at a cost of $3 billion, filed for bankruptcy and went out of business, stiffed contractors and employees. Started Trump Airlines, never made a profit, planes and helicopters, repossessed by Citibank. Trump Mortgage, Trump Vodka, Trump Steaks, all went out of business, according to Point Counterpoint. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Every single business that he started. What he didn't mention, which I think is probably paramount, is the scam that he created with his Trump University, taught by the most incredible hand-picked real estate moguls that and the best teachers there ever was, where he lured people in and then charged them $35,000 to take part in his real estate seminar where they can become real estate tycoons like Donald Trump, and took the money and nobody, and it was all scam. And right before his presidential campaign started, he was being sued by the class action lawsuit, and he settled for $25 million. He paid out all these people who he scammed. He literally scammed money. And these are people who were followers. These are people who worship Donald Trump. Oh, the greatest, holier than thou, the man who self-proclaimed to be more famous and better than Jesus himself. You know, Donald Trump says that, you know, the greatest president since Lincoln, the greatest man who ever lived, can do everything, knows more about war than the generals do. And they believed all that, and they gave him $35,000 of their hard-earned money. Do you think he cared a damn about anybody? He didn't give a damn about any of these people. You know, people, elderly couples, or life savings, $35,000, so we can invest in real estate and flip properties and know how to do this and make a profit and gain in our net worth. And he scammed them all without even thinking twice about it. These people who worshipped him scammed them, and they sued him, and he lost. And so that's one more to add to the little clip that was not mentioned in that his claim to fame about how great of a businessman he is. Anyway.
Yeah.
Then it goes on. I mean, every show we have something new to talk about or something that we just bring up about Donald Trump. It's unbelievable.
And some people actually do bring up Donald Trump.
Yeah.
When I think about it.
and our number again here, folks, which we failed to give out, but I don't mind not giving it out, actually. Who needs callers anyway? No, please, if you're listening live, and we know there are those out there that are, even though most of our audience hears this after it's heard, the radio show is done, and it is a radio show. It's not produced as a podcast. We're a live radio show. And after the radio show is done, it gets distributed as a podcast, but in fact is a live show. It is a live talk show. And what that means is that you are invited to take part in the show. And you do that by dialing 515-605-9888 And, you know, call in, tell us a joke, make us laugh, share your opinions in the world on life, on politics, on the environment, on Joe Biden, on Donald Trump. You know, do you agree with this? Do you not agree with this? We're ears. We don't bite. You know, we're okay. We're open to people's thoughts,
yeah,
opinions, ideas. I mean, it might not be what ours are, but that's okay. That's what this is all about. And so our lines are open. Yeah, 515-605-9888. Hey, Amanda.
Yes.
This past few days, this past week,
mm-hmm,
I'm here in L.A., of course, and there's been in baseball, you know, baseball here, right? There's been the Western Division, Western Conference Championships on the road to the World Series. And the most historic rivalry that exists in any sport is between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Both till 1957 were in New York. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants, just like the New York Giants football team. And they both moved to California. All the owners in 1977 took a vote and allowed the two teams to go to the West Coast to open up baseball here at the time. And the decision was predicated upon both teams doing it. If one team changed their mind, then both had to stay in New York. They both came out here. The rivalries in New York, and that rivalry has continued. The last year, the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team was number one and eventually went on to win the World Series.
Right.
All the playoff games to get there.
Yeah.
This year, they're one game behind the San Francisco Giants almost the entire season. Just couldn't catch them. One game behind. The Giants had won 107 out of 162 baseball games. They won 107 games. The most winningest team in history. The Dodgers were one step behind them. So the Dodgers got into what's called the wild card to see who's going to play the Giants. So they didn't get any days off, right? And the Dodgers went, because they were in second place, the Dodgers went into the wild card, and they beat the St. Louis Cardinals, making them also giving them a record of 107 victories, because the Giants didn't have to play a wild card game, right? So each team goes into this incredible playoff series with 107 wins. I mean,
wow.
And not only do they go in, the most winningest teams in baseball, 107 wins. That might never happen again. And
impressive.
Oh, my God. And talking about an exciting playoff game, my God, the pitching, amazing. The hitting, amazing. The defense, amazing. On edge of your seat baseball. Even if you're not a baseball fan, if you had a pulse, you would have enjoyed this game. I don't care if you're into ping pong. This would have been amazing. But so each team goes into the playoff with 107 wins. The first game of the series, San Francisco Giants win with an amazing pitcher, a guy named Webb, incredible 24-year-old pitcher, amazing pitcher. A second game in San Francisco, the Giants come back and win. Incredible hitting. The Dodgers came back and win. Am I saying the Dodgers came back and win? And with an amazing offensive display. Third game moves to Los Angeles. San Francisco takes that game. I was kind of thinking the whole time that San Francisco is going to win this thing. I just thought they were too big, too powerful for the – and too good on the bullpen pitching for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Dodgers were great, though. Okay, so third game. San Francisco steps up to the plate, wins the game. Fourth game in L.A., Dodgers come back and win. So now it's an even series. They both won the same amount of games. Now they're in the playoffs, a whole other series, and they're both they both won the same amount of games. The final was last night in San Francisco. 0-0 through most of the game. Nothing going on. Both pitching was fantastic. Defense was fantastic. Nobody got on. I mean, they got on, left some people on base. Nothing ever happened. And then the Dodgers get a home run. They're winning 1-0. And you're just kind of, whoa, 1-0.
Yeah.
It wasn't long after where San Francisco steps up to the plate, they get a home run. Now it's 1-1. Leading up to the ninth inning, it's still 1-1. Dodgers get some folks on base, drive a guy in, boom, 2-1, Dodgers. San Francisco still has a chance by stepping up to the plate because they get last ups, right? And one out, two outs, one of their best hitters is up to the plate, two strikes, a pitch, and the Dodgers send in one of their starters, Switzer. I think that's his name. He's a starting pitcher. He's not a relief pitcher. He goes in a save position for the first time in his entire career because he's a starting pitcher. Starting pitchers aren't closers. So he goes on with a closing save position and two strikes. The San Francisco batter stepped up to the plate. Names don't matter because nobody's going to remember them anyway. Stepped up to the plate and two strikes, and a pitch comes in, and he checks his swing. In other words, he's about to swing, but he takes the swing back before he breaks the wrist, swings all the way around.
Right.
And the umpire on first base calls it a strike.
No.
Yes. The Dodgers win.
Wow. Okay.
And they showed this swing in slow motion. It was obviously a checked swing. The umpire got it wrong from one of the best hitters in the San Francisco Giant lineup. Now, momentum, you know, nobody's a soothsayer. I mean, the guy could have hit a home run. I doubt it. I mean, he probably would have struck out or grounded. It probably would have been over anyway. But what a way to lose a game.
Whoa.
On a bad call by an umpire.
That's frustrating.
That's really how
is frustrating.
Now, but the thing is, you can't go back, and the players can't go back, and I don't think they did go back.
Yeah.
These are professional players. These are professional guys. And each one of them probably sits in the clubhouse and on the way home and says to themselves, what could have I done to contribute to this team? What could have I done better to pull out a victory? I can't believe we lost this game. Can't believe we lost it. And they lost it. And they probably, in all likelihood, you know, they probably would have lost anyway. You know, they probably would have struck out or probably would have grounded out or whatever and lost the game regardless of how. They had this incredible Cy Young Award winning pitcher who's a starter with his first save, his first role as a closer in his professional career. And what a game. Now the Los Angeles Dodgers travel to Atlanta, where they'll go into the National League playoff series, and whoever wins that will go into the World Series to play the winner of the AL, the American League playoffs, which starts today, which puts the Boston Red Sox, the famous Boston Red Sox out of Fenway Park in Boston, against the former National League team, the Houston Astros, which a few years ago switched to the American League and redistricting, restructuring, however you want to call it. I still look at the Astros as a National League team. I grew up with the Astros in the National League as a kid. I mean, to me, that's a World Series.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have the Red Sox playing the Astros, that is a World Series because the Astros, my head, is still National League, but they're not.
Aww.
So the winner of that game will go into the World Series, and the stadiums are full of people. And, you know, it's a real game. It's on. There's real fans in the audience, not these stick figures with human faces on them. And it's an exciting time for baseball once again.
You know what?
And
I've loved all the logos for baseball and basketball and the NFL because when I over here, of course, we've got our own sports, but the logos, I guess, the designs are very different than how they are in the US because I guess the type of game it is. But I spent time in school drawing all the NBA logos. I loved it. It was incredible. I made this like picture frame out of all these NBA logos, and it's my prized possession. I didn't get a very good grade for that, and it was immaculate. You know, I literally did it identical to these logos, and the teacher was like, yeah, it's probably because he was British and it was American, you know. But I don't know. But I just love their logos, and I love all the shirts. If I could collect all the shirts, I think that would just be epic, because I think they're all beautiful. They're all great.
Mm.
I probably get a lot of stick from the fans. Really? You know?
I'll tell you what. We will start covering the playoffs more aggressively and baseball. Football, you know, maybe football too. You know, Eagles lost to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night on Thursday Night Football. My home team, Philadelphia Eagles. I got to tell you, I've been here a total of 6 years with a 2-year interruption here in LA. And I'm real excited about the Rams, real excited about the Chargers, real excited about the Dodgers, real excited about the Lakers, real excited about the Clippers. I mean, it's great to live in a town. You know, I'm from Philadelphia, and there's no sports fan better in the world, more excitable, more enthusiastic than the fans of Philadelphia. I mean, they have their reputation precedes them. Unbelievable, right? But I'm here in L.A., And it is so great to be in a town where you've got this amazing, all the sports here is just incredible teams. And they go to championship series consistently. And it's so different than being from Philadelphia. Almost.
Yeah.
Eagles finally got a Super Bowl a few years ago, which is incredible. That was wonderful. But, you know, go Dodgers. You know, go Dodgers. Go Rams. Go Chargers. Woo! You know, exciting itself. It really is. Anyway, so that's we're gonna carry baseball. I'm not carry baseball. listening to the World Series here on the Andy DeManger Show. No one knows how to carry baseball
games. It'd be cool if
you could. Can carry a baseball? We're gonna carry baseball to the end of the World Series.
and then put it down.
I got a text from Lee Van Dusen. His car was broken into and a bunch of things were stolen.
Oh, no.
So he will not be joining us. He said he might be able to call in towards the end of the show. I texted him back with my sympathies, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. That's, you know, unreal. It's too bad, you know.
Oh, man. That's awful.
But he said, yeah, so his car was broken into. So our guy our AMC guy who turned us on to all the AMC and how Squeeze work and how the AMC stock is different than any other stock in terms of people investing in it. It's not like you're investing in the AMC business. You're investing in AMC because of the Squeeze, because of all the short sales, which we've gone into in depth in previous shows. We're not going to this time. But look it up yourself, short Squeeze, what it is, how it works, AMC. And, you know, you don't need me to spoon feed you that at this point. Just, you know, look it up.
Yeah.
We're not going to dive into it again. Or listen to some of our Friday shows. You can go onto the AndyAndDemanderShow.com website and scroll back a few Fridays where we've explained what the Squeeze, how this works, why AMC would be a pretty good – I hate to say gamble. I hate to say bet, but pretty good investment if you wanted to sit there and hold on to it. Just put some money in there that you can't – that you don't think – even if it's a share or two at $40, whatever, just forget about it. Forget you even have it. And wait for the Squeeze to take place and watch that $40 turn into a significant gain for you. I'm talking about big gain with several zeros attached to it. So, and that is the potential for that. The question is when. It's not if, it's when. There are some short positions that have closed that have escalated the AMC stock already. So the Squeeze is in a way the AMC Squeeze is underway in a very small scale because some of the short positions, the contracts of the short of the options to that it's going to go out of business or go way down in numbers and value because of the pandemic and so forth. Who goes to the movies? Some of those contracts have expired, and those folks have had to pay up. If you bet short, it's like borrowing money from a bank. You know, you bet, you know, it's going to go way down, and you sign a contract in a sense. You say, I'm going to put a deposit down, which is a premium. I put my deposit down with the bet that AMC ain't going to be with us too long, or if they are, I bet they're going to go down to X amount of dollars, and they got to do so by such and such date. And when that date comes and goes and they didn't hit that number that you thought they were going to go down to, you've got to pay. Not only did you lose your premium, but you've also got to pay the amount of shares that you borrowed against that bet. You got to pay it. And if it went up to, you know, if you said it was going to go six and you bought and it happened at 18 or whatever, and it went up to $80 a share or $50 a share, guess what you're on the hook for?
Yeah,
you're on the hook for the $70 or $80 a share.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and your premium, whatever that deposit was that it cost you to make a bet, whatever that number is. I don't know how that worked exactly, but I think 10% or something like that. But whatever that is, so some of that has already started to occur with some of the institutional investors in a small scale. But there's I think 4.2 million shares. I don't know, there's a whole lot of shares sitting out there right now that are on loan, you know, that are owned by us retail investors, you know, and we own those shares, and the short seller buyers borrowed against them. Eventually they are going to have to be canceled and liquidated and paid for whenever the expiration dates are. And those expiration dates will happen in sequence over a period of time, but in a group, you know, pretty much in a group time together. It won't happen one in a month, then another one in 2 months, another one in 3 months. It's all going to happen in, you know, steps, like a grampus, a set of stairs, you know, over, up, over, up, over, up, and you'll see this thing go way up. And where will it peak? Nobody knows exactly. The more we hold on to our shares, the higher that peak will be, because we dictate how much those shares are worth when they have to buy them back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That pretty much,
yes.
I think that's pretty much how it works briefly. I didn't want to go into a whole thing.
No, you explained it so well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so there are those who are joining the show for the first time right now. I don't see I know Joe Richman was scheduled to join our show pending his own availability, his own schedule. And he's such a great guy. He's so entertaining.
Oh,
he's got
he
so
is.
Much background in the NBA and basketball and sports, and he's funny. He's great to have on the show. And he was supposed to join us already, and he's not here. So we'll
That's
give
okay.
him a pass. We'll give him a pass. We'll give him a rain check, invite him back another day. But let's do this because we do spend I guess there's other news to talk about, but let's not talk about it. go to News Fox or AMC or no, AMC. Go to the movies. Hell yeah.
Go get a ticket.
Go to AMC. There's some great movies coming out now.
Oh yeah. Listen.
If you're you know, AMC theaters, folks, go to AMC.
I really
want to
see
AMC.
The James Bond.
Oh my God. Forever Live.
Yes.
Live Forever. Is that
yeah.
Live Forever? No.
I think so. No, it's not, is it?
Live? Forever Live.
I don't know. I need to look. How bad is that?
Yeah, I saw it advertised just recently. Live? Go on. Oh, it's Go On Live Forever. No.
No. That's wrong.
I got it wrong. It's not
yeah.
Forever Live. It's No Time to
is
Die.
Is it No One... Oh, no. Ah, yes! Yes, see, I was going to go with No One Lives Forever. See where I was headed with this.
This is the Andy Mandy Show. We know it all. Give us a call.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, Forever Live. Live Forever. It's No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Directed by Kerry Joji Funganagwa. Daniel Craig. Lee Sadusky. Rami Malek. Lashkita Lynch. James Bond has left his active service. His peace is short-lived when Felix Leiter, an old friend from the CIA, turns up asking him for help, leading Bond onto a trail of mysterious villain armed with dangerous new technologies presented by the Andy and Amanda Show.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's been so long since I've been to the movie theater. Obviously, because we've had COVID, that's been a big deal, right? But, I mean, I can't remember... before then when it was exactly that. Oh, I lie. Somebody I knew said, oh, there's this new movie at the theater. They I think it was Pikachu Detective or something like that, and you know, it looked fun and cute based on the old Pokemon games on Nintendo, and so it's kind of like, oh yeah, that was cute. We went and saw it, and I think that was the last time that I went to the cinema. But it would be good to go again, definitely. I really want to see so much that's coming out.
I haven't been to the movies, even pre-COVID, in years. Forget COVID. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to a theater in years. And part of me says, you know, I've got Hulu, I got Netflix, I got Amazon, I got you name it, I got it here. And there's so many movies, and they all hit. Some first releases are now released on Hulu, too. So for Hulu, you can watch many, many movies that are coming out new for theater release are also available on your TV screen. And there's something very special about going to movies. Maybe when you come over here, man, you and I will go to a movie together. That would be great.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
Get some popcorn, sit down in the theater together.
Yeah.
You know?
MC, of course.
With the chaperone, did you say?
No, I said AMC, of course.
Oh, AMC, yes.
With a chaperone. Yes, just in case, Andy, just in case. I'll make sure there's a seat between you and I. Yes, yes.
We'll put the speed bump, what they call that sexual speed bump between us. You know,
yeah.
Just, you know, yeah.
I know movies come out in the US a bit sooner than they do in the UK, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got, you know that?
Yeah, they do.
I was always a big fan of Ghostbusters as a kid, and they're like Ghostbusters Afterlife. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so cool. I saw trailer for it. I was like, oh, wow, yeah. And they've got Spider-Man No Way Home coming out, and that looks, you know, I love that. And Matrix Resurrections, and it says 14th of January 2022, we've got Scream. Is that a remake, or is it something else? I don't know. But that...
Maybe Scream 3? Is it Scream 3 or just Scream?
No, it just says Scream. And then we've got the 4th of March 2022, The Batman. That sounds pretty cool.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Got 27th of May, Top Gun Maverick. Oh,
no,
that's going to be so good.
No, that's already... Really?
Yeah.
Things have already happened.
Seriously.
Things are going to happen. Things
no,
are going to
it
happen.
Says... This is on...
2022.
Please excuse me, AMC, okay? I just found the listing for Cineworld, because that's also one of the biggest cinemas here in the UK. And this is their listing with dates of the new movies that are coming out. See, we're quite behind in the movies and stuff. So
years behind.
You
movies came out years ago in the US. Years ago.
Well, I don't. It sounds like some of them did. Yes, but
it sounds like you're talking about movies that came out years ago here.
No, I don't. It probably feels that way, right? We got 7th of October 2022, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah, Spider-Man
Mission
2 already
Impossible
came out
7.
Here.
Yeah.
That already came out here, I think.
Wow.
I think you might be
on?
Way behind. Way behind. Yeah, but you come over
like
here. We'll go to the movies together. We'll sit down in the theater. You know, we'll kind of, you know, we'll have a good time. You know, we'll do.
Okay, well, I'll make sure I've got my mask and a can of air spray with me, you know. In case that does happen.
There might be a reason why I haven't gone to the movies. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way about this country.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's so many great titles. But Top Gun. I was a huge fan of Top Gun.
Me, so was I. Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine, actually, for you. I mean, that's quite, that's quite presuming, isn't it? Because you're a pilot, I guess. You know, putting two and two together, that you would actually like Top Gun. But
I mean,
that guy again.
Yeah. Well, this is something that we, but.
The guy just now that you played again for the second time sounds like me when I'm trying to get words out in a hurry. You know, you get so excited and you're trying to get the words out. It's like...
Yeah, for me, it's more like...
Jim Ladd.
Yeah.
Sound like a pirate.
That's how we do this show. It's cool how we're... You know, this whole show is... You know, obviously, we had an agenda, which we totally got away from. None of our guests showed up. So,
I know.
This is pretty much how we do a show anyway, without the scheduled guests. This is, but we sometimes we dive more into the news. But our show is done as much like the.
It's like the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in.
Yeah.
You take your right foot out. You put your right foot in. You shake it all about.
Of
you
course.
Do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. Boom. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very
that's
much
funny.
Yeah, very much hell.
Yeah. Bless them. Yeah, they've obviously got their – we know what Lee's reason is, but I'm sure, Joe's caught up with some important stuff, and we understand completely. And
That could be a potential hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was actually going to mention that earlier in the show when we were talking about space and stuff, and we were saying about how the planet will be probably won't see another 4.8 million, or is it billion years?
Billion.
Billion. Whew, okay.
Billion.
So that makes a difference to me right now, I guess. But it brought up the interesting idea of time and time travel. That would be a cool subject to talk about on the show at some point. Right?
Mm.
Ah! That fascinates me. Oh my goodness! I had to really hold that back then. What on earth was that? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I'm on the radio. No, you know, again, you're listening to Amanda Love in UK. I am Andy Kimball here.
You know, the great gods, you know, he's one step above that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. our number here is 515-605-9888. Since we don't know what the heck we're doing, you're invited to come in and maybe you know what you're doing here. No, but actually, we have a fun
we're
time here.
Cruising.
This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Again, I want to give out our contact info. It's Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com. The email of the show. Also, you can ask for an invite to join the show with that email address, and make sure we'll send you an internet link and you join us through the internet. We'll take care of it. You just send us the expression that you want to come on. We'll send you a link. You click that link and make sure you have headphones and a microphone and you'll join our conversation over the internet. It's pretty cool. And it works really well too. I mean, you're real clear. It works amazingly well around the world or all over the world. We're in 23 countries right now, 23 countries. The latest being Estonia, wherever that is. And also what else? I saw somebody else come on recently. I forget where else.
Ooh.
Look at the map. Yeah,
another
I gotta go
country.
Back. Another. Yeah, I forget. On our podcast listenership is different than our live radio listenership. You know, the 23 countries are those who have tuned in and listened to our show live on internet radio or streaming radio, wherever they might be. And 23 countries have chimed into our show, listening to us live or listening to the stream on internet radio, meaning blogtalkradio.com/Andy and Amanda Show. And they've heard the show that way. And then other than Blog Talk, we are on Pandora. We are on iHeartRadio. We are in Spotify. We're in iTunes. We're in TuneIn Radio. We're in Chrome. We're Alexa. You can say, Alexa, play the Andy and Amanda Show. And boom, out we come. Boom! Yeah,
they don't clap for you.
No, they don't
you
clap.
Know,
but
people quite often refer to it that way as boom, and out it comes. You know.
And boom! boom! You know what I mean? But we're all over the place. You just search Google for Andy and Amanda Show, and we come up in many different platforms. So that podcast world, which this we don't produce this as a podcast. We are distributed as a podcast, but we produce this as a live radio show again. So, but the podcast audience in terms of countries that chime into the podcast is different than the audience that tunes into the radio show is greater in the amount of people, but less in the amount of countries. You follow me?
Yeah.
So more people listen to this when it's already done. You can't call in. You know, it's a podcast. Boom, it's already done. It's out there. So more people tune into that because most people never heard of Blog Talk Radio, wouldn't even know what internet radio is, wouldn't know how to get into the show, wouldn't even know to look for the show. So therefore, how do you expect them to call in? And we might do something about that in terms of expanding and promoting and putting some oomph behind our radio show because that's really the direction we're headed. We're not looking to expand the podcast. No offense to podcasters. We're looking to expand our presence on the radio and take this to Sirius XM where you'll actually be able to tune in on a real radio and listen to this show. That's where we want to go. Somebody offered us $1 million to say, hey, we'd like you to enhance your podcast and go that way. Money talks, you know what I'm saying? But
it does.
But what we're really interested in doing, and for anybody out there who has some ability to help us in that regard, whether it be a connection into a radio network, a radio station, Sirius XM, or in publicity to help us go there, we're all ears. And we're looking for some advice and some know-how and some people who are more connected, who you might have listened to some episodes of the show and say, hey, this is pretty good radio. This is good radio. I could see this on the air. It's kind of like along the lines, but Howard Stern, but different than Howard Stern. You know, we don't try to be Howard Stern. We don't claim to be. We don't want to be. We've been called Howard Stern on steroids. I don't see it that way. We get pretty raunchy at times. Have a lot of fun with that. We do. You know, we track people like the people we track are people like Ron Jeremy. People we track. How do you know? How many radio stations and radio programs cover the Adult Video Music Awards?
Apparently we don't either.
How many radio programs have their own award show, adult video music? I mean, come on, really, you know.
Yeah.
No, but AVN, which will be the AVN, from what I understand, is going to be a live event again in January in Las Vegas, and maybe we'll be able to get there, barring any COVID issues, like last time prevented us. We might be able to get to Las Vegas to the Adult Video News Award show and broadcast live in Las Vegas in January. We tried to do that last time around, and we couldn't do it because of COVID. So
yes,
maybe this time around we'll be able to bring some – now, how this all come about, because comparison to Howard Stern, I guess, which, again, we don't put. Anyway, yes, so we're looking for those who might have an interest or know somebody. You know, maybe you don't know, but maybe you know somebody who knows somebody. You know what I mean? Get the word.
Yeah.
We're looking to expand this show. And if each one of our listeners told one person about the show and got them to tune in, even for a few minutes, that would double our numbers. Right? So if you're listening to the podcast, we know you're listening to the podcast. You're obviously listening to it, right? Okay. If you told one person about what we're doing, and I guess we're doing a commercial right now, an infomercial for our own show. But we do a lot of fun on the show. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about a lot of news. We confront the big lie and disprove it. You know, we have people on the show, a lot of great guests, you know, sports people, humans, motivational speakers, spirituality leaders, authors, you know, directors, producers, actors, sports figures. You know, it just goes on and on. We've had a lot of great, great guests, and we'll continue to do so on the show. And I think it's a good show. You know, sometimes in my own, you know, car, I'm driving along, I've got, you know, I hit the screen and I push the podcast for the Andy and Amanda show and sit back and enjoy the ride and listen to our own show and sit back and say,
it really is fun.
It's a good show. It's a fun, engaging show. It's like being a fly on a wall in somebody's conversation. Like, what the hell? Like, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we're not really experts in anything. You know?
I mean, for those who already know us, they know that we're just, you know, we're laid back people who are very passionate about everything that's going on in the world and, you know, life and people. We believe in people. And
I'm going to hit the magic button here in the 302 area code. Is this Joe? Hello?
Of course it is.
Hey!
Guys, you know,
you had a sweating, man. You had a sweating.
Like, who else y'all know the 302 area code besides? You know what I mean? That's as cool as me.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I am doing good. I miss you. I miss you guys, man. I miss that accent so much. You know, not so much.
Hey Joe, I got an introduction for you. I got to play the introduction. This is, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Joe.
You know, the great gods, you know, he's one step above that.
Yeah.
Hey. Absolutely. Bravo. Nicely done.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
What's up? Hello.
Hey. How we doing? How have you been? Welcome back aboard again. Great having you aboard. And we know that we talked about you, who you are and what your background is earlier in the show, having been with the Harlem Globetrotters organization, having coached the Washington Generals and having refereed the game. And now you're with the Philadelphia 76ers organization as an ambassador and very much a part of the world of sports and the NBA. and the NBA is kicking off now, right? It's getting underway.
It's ready to rock and roll, and we're excited. 76ers are excited, and I'm here with the G League team, Delaware Bluecoats, in Wilmington, Delaware, at our beautiful facility, the Chase Center in downtown Wilmington. So it's really not downtown; it's just on the outside, on the waterfront, but it's still beautiful.
Oh wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I can't wait for you both to come and visit it.
I heard it was
great, unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're unbelievable. Yeah, love it.
So what is the prediction of how's your team doing? How's the Bluecoats doing? What's their prognosis?
Last year We played in the bubble because of, you know, COVID. So the G League played in the bubble last year out in Florida, and we lost in the championship. We went all the way. We were undefeated the whole season, and we lost in the championship, which was it hurt. But, you know, the only thing, even though we lost the championship, we still wish we would have played it at our gym in front of our band. But, you know, they played it in the bubble in front of the virtual fans. And a lot of our season ticket holders and select fans still got a chance to link in and be a part of the excitement and history for us. And we're just looking forward to this upcoming season. And is Amanda, Andy, I'm telling you guys, it's so exciting. I mean, just to be back in the gym, hearing that basketball bounce, to hearing some fans doing some things.
Oh,
because our season kicks off November the 6th here in Delaware, and we can't wait. We cannot wait.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I really feel for you, because that must have been such a crazy experience of not having everything there that you once had before. I mean, I know we all experienced it with the whole COVID situation. It, you know, restricted every part of our lives, but especially when you've got such a sports team and that environment is needed. And, of course, you know, having real fans there helps, you know, inspire the players to be the best they can be and do the best for their fans. And I think that must have been such a weird experience, having a virtual experience regarding the physical. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, and you know, as we all know, we all made adjustments. We all had to adapt, and we all had to keep moving on. And our fans did the same. And I'm telling you right now, though, our fans are just as the fans are waiting at the gate for the gun to go off. They can't wait to get let out.
Oh.
They just like to see us. As much as our players are looking forward to it, our fans are as well, and, you know, we're really excited. I mean, I know that's an overused term in sports, but it's not a cliche. It's not something that we just use and throw around. We really are excited about this upcoming season for the Delaware Bluecoats here in Wilmington.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, it's,
well, thank you, and I wish you well, and your new program.
What a lovely guy. Who was that guy?
<Thank you.
laughs> I didn't realize you had somebody here with us. That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, the former president, you know, times in every once in a while with his thoughts, you know.
Wow.
What is, you know, being part of the NBA as well, and the Philadelphia 76ers umbrella organization, they had a great season last year, right? And we're expecting some real good things this year, am I right? They're pretty much on a roll to make some things happen, the Sixers?
I mean, most G League teams are 100 directly affiliated with their NBA team, and but our relationship with the Sixers is like nothing else in the whole NBA. With the success of the Sixers, with the success of what they do up there at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, PA, it's just amazing. You know, one thing I love about it is it gives us every game to shoot for that excellence that they present to the fans in Philadelphia. Everything is above board. Everything is done in excellence. Everything is detailed. One thing I love, you know, because, you know, we have to march to the NBA drum, and we follow what they want, their protocols and things of that nature. And the one thing that I can say without hesitation is they have not done anything that wasn't what is best for the fans first. And, I love that. And I love that because it runs right back down to us here in Delaware and our mentality, along with Larry Amelie, our president, Alex Yeo, our senior director of marketing and operations. Is their whole thing is before they move or do anything, or, hey, you think the fan will be able to do this? You think the fan will be uncomfortable with this? Or you think the fan will see this? And that's what we love. We want the parents, we want the families to come in, and we want them to be coming in and be like, yo, they did not miss anything. So we're still hand sanitizer everywhere. We still will have, you know, mask available if anybody wants it. You know, we're still going to have all these things. A lot of stuff will be pre-taken care of during them getting their own tickets and their privacy of their own homes and where they're at. But when it comes to the arena, we will make sure that they feel safe and secure in our restrooms, in our seating, in our concession area. that hey, these guys have not missed anything, and they haven't let their guard down, and that's what I'm excited about. And you know, with the success of the Sixers, it just trickles down to us because Paul Reed, who was a rookie of the year, player of the year in the G League, he went up to be with the Philadelphia 76ers, and Shake Milton the year before him. Mm. So we've had a great lineage from Delaware Blue Coat players going up to the Sixers, and it just makes our fan base be like, wow, who's next?
Oh, I love it.
and of course, everybody is welcome to those. And the tickets are less expensive for the Blue Coats, I'm thinking, right, than the Sixers games?
The tickets for the Sixers and us are very reasonable at every level. You know, there's not a – even if, you know, the Wells Fargo is a beautiful state-of-the-art facility – it's not a bad, but because you know, with the way they have fan engagement and all that, you're still always going to feel a part of the game if you're even if you're not sitting on the floor. And at our building at the Chase facility we have in Delaware, Chase Fieldhouse, we don't have a bad seat in the building. I'm telling you, Andy, Amanda, y'all can sit up in the right-hand corner of the rafters, and you'll be like, yo, it's almost like sitting on the floor. We don't have a bad seat in the building. I know that's overused, but we really don't. It's a beautiful facility.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I would love to experience, and I will one day, definitely, the whole basketball scene to myself in person because, you know, being over here, the other side of the world, and it's not that big here as it is there, although it's growing much bigger here. You know, you see it on TV, you see it in movies, like, oh yeah, basketball's so cool, yeah, I love the look of the game, I love the experience that you see of people in the crowd, how much they enjoy the game, and it's just like, it is so freaking cool. Just like, I see that same thing with baseball, not so much with the NFL, because we got our own version, in a sense, here with rugby, but with those other two games, yes, basketball, yes, definitely. So thrilling. There's a lot of excitement in basketball. People may think that with baseball, but I think baseball's a bit more laid back in the sense of, you know, it feels like a longer game, and it's a kind of more slower pace than basketball, but there's something about basketball. Ooh, I used to buy the NBA games on the PlayStation and play those. Freaking love them. So much fun. I'm right there. I love it.
Joel, have you followed the baseball playoffs at all? Have you been watching what's going on with the Dodgers and the Giants and the Astros?
I'm not a baseball guy. And once my Phillies are out, I'm a little still bummed out about that. And then baseball has the bad timing of falling right. Like near the end of, you know, like it's like when they're about to end, basketball's about to start, and the NFL is starting. So it's like they fall in a bad spot, you know what I mean? So it's not a team that you're really, really rooting for. You really don't really pay attention if they don't have a player that is transcending the game that you got to watch on that stage. So, you know, but I'm just a Philly, you know, it's really 100% the NFL football and NBA basketball for me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I know the Eagles had a showing. They played Tom Brady and the Buccaneers last night on national TV. And I don't know what happened to the Eagles' defense. I don't know what their defense won. The quarterback, what's his name, Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes.
I like that guy.
I'm trying to figure out what my Eagles are doing. I really, you know, my sister, Deanna, she's my whole family would die hard, but my sister, you know, die hard Eagles fans. And, you know, we're up all night texting back and forth. What is going on? You know, we just don't have some firepower, and we're just young, too. We're very young, young coach, young quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, so young, even a wide receiver, Devontae Smith, you know, just first year out of college, even though he's a Heisman Trophy type player.
Yeah.
We all know it's the same cliche over and over. You just can't, it's no substitute for experience. You know what I mean? And that's what we're lacking right now. And come on, you're going up against Tom Brady. I was so proud of him last night because it
so
was 28-3. You know what I mean? It was like 28-22, and and a lot of stuff a lot of the mishaps we put on ourselves. It's not what Tampa Bay did to us and what we did to ourselves. So I felt last night game wasn't so much about winning; it was about not being embarrassed.
Yes, and I think they accomplished that. And I agree with you. I like that coach. What's his name? Lou Ferrigno. That's not his.
that was the Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno was the original Incredible Hulk.
What am I thinking of? What's the guy's name?
Eagles head coach.
Yeah. Oh, Nick.
When you find out, let me know.
Not Lou Ferrigno.
Because I'm not gonna lie, Andy Reid was my guy. I love Andy.
Yeah, me. Oh, I agree, and I still follow Andy Reid. When the Chiefs play, I'm right there, man.
That's the only reason I like the Chiefs because I love Andy Reid. I'm always if the Eagles don't win, I want to see the Steelers win because I'm a Pennsylvania guy, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to keep it here. But outside of those two teams, I'm gonna go wherever Andy Reid is. So. That's why I kind of really root for him if the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I agree. I love what he did with the Chiefs. And sometimes I wonder, you know, he was with Philadelphia for 14 years with the Philadelphia Eagles and has done just obviously went to the Chiefs and went to a Super Bowl and twice. And I wonder if they would have been better served if they just let him stay and bring in a different mix of players and let him do his thing, because he's the same guy. He went to Kansas City, a different group of players, and look what occurred and look what's occurring consistently. And even when he was with Philadelphia for those 14 years, look how many years he went to the playoffs, lost or whatever, you know, finally, you know, but he was right there. And look what he did with the Chiefs, with a different group of players, but the same Andy Reid, the same guy, you know.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Right. He was always knocking at the door, and he just had that one special player, which was Patrick Mahomes, that got him right over that hump. And as you know, as you spoke about your station getting elevated to that next level, all you need is that one that'll get you right over the hump.
over the hump. Yeah, we're like, that's what I feel like in this show. We're like in the playoffs, you know, we're like knocking at the door. our reach and our audience is growing by huge numbers, gigantic numbers. And and we're just kind of like, okay, and here we are, you know, we're just kind of, you know, we all have other careers and occupations and different life experiences, and we picked up this radio show as a result of just a conversation about trying to make a difference in the world and create some laughs and talk about, you know, what's on our minds as average people. And suddenly, boom, here we are a year and a half later, and we have this radio show, and, you know, it seems to be
enjoying
doing
the ride.
Something. Yeah, and people seem to be, for the most part, seem to be enjoying it, and we're kind of like knocking at that door. And we're not, you know, as you may have heard, we're not a pod, even though we are distributed as a podcast. After the show is over, it goes out with some minor editing and EQ and compression for radio, for podcasts, whatever. If that's all done, it goes out of the podcast, but we don't produce this as a podcast. We produce this as a radio show. And, you know, we're looking for that next leg up. You know, we're looking for that, you know, to really go on a real radio where you can really literally tune us in, you know. But we'll
you know, I've been I've been checking out these guys that you've been talking about, like Andy Reid and Tom Brady. Tom Brady's handsome. Andy Reid, he looks like a cool coach.
I'm jealous.
Oh, sorry, Andy. I'm sorry, darling. It's always you first. It's always you first.
thank you. Just making sure.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, Andy, the main point I was making is, like you said about your show, is the one thing I heard when you talked about was like one person tell the next person, and you weren't saying tell 100 other people or tell 10 other, you were saying one, because like you said about Andy Reid, all he did, he was always knocking at the door, and he just needed that one special person, and it happened to be Patrick Mahomes that got it, that understood, that knew what he wanted from his coach, because the coach and the quarterback got to be on the same page in order for this thing to really, really, really take off.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe where you're at. You're saying, just tell that one person, and in one day, that conversation from somebody is going to be had with that one person that's going to say, hey, let me tune into the Andy and Amanda show. And this is, oh, well, I like this. How do I get this where they want to go? And I know that's right around the door because you guys have knocking and knocked. And like you said, outside of myself, I've listened. You've had great guests on in the future, and I know you're right there. So I would just encourage you to just stay focused and just stay encouraged because I know you're right there.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sweetheart. That means a lot. Truly, that means a lot. Yeah, we keep grinding. We enjoy it so much. You know, it's such a laugh, and we're enjoying the ride. And yeah, we're gonna keep knocking on those doors because we've got faith in us and this and everybody that wants to come in and share this experience, like yourself, Joe. Mm-hmm. We're very honored to have you back for a third time, my darling.
Absolutely.
Very honored.
And the main thing is, we know is you know.
The main thing is to get plenty of advice.
Yes, very true. In some fields more than others.
Who knows, you know, and who knows where it might come from. You just never know.
Chinese?
It could be, you know,
Well, as long as it's not Dr. Roof, darling, I think we're all right.
Oh, yeah, we got Dr. Roof on the show. Yeah.
My goodness.
But so your schedule, your first game is November 4th, did you say, the Blue Jackets?
No, for us here, the Delaware Blue Coats, it's
November
6th. You go to bluecoats.com, go on the site. The schedule is up. We have some amazing game nights this season as well. We have a lot of interaction going on this year. So we're really looking forward to it. We have so many special things for the fans this year. Just as a thank you for coming back, thank you for staying committed to us. Thank you for not going somewhere else, knowing that you could spend your entertainment dollars other places. We don't take it for granted that they spend it with us and spend their time with us. So we're excited. We're here in Delaware because right before everything was pretty much shut down, we were building an overpass from the field house down to the waterfront, and that is now finished. So you can actually leave the field house, go right across the overpass in 2 minutes, and be right on the waterfront with a multitude of restaurants, a beautiful water walkway. It's just so many other options for our fans to do, and we can't wait to present that to our fans as well.
Oh, that sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, really is fantastic.
Amanda, you...
I know, darling. I know it right now in my heart. I can see it. Well, almost. Oh, I'd love to experience that, darling. I'll make sure I do that one day. I promise. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I recommend others to do it as well. Go do it. Go do it, listeners.
Yes, we're going to get Amanda. We're going to get Amanda over here. We're hoping to do that. So listen, we're about ready to wrap here in our time slot. And Joe, it's so great catching up with you again. And glad you're able to join us. And we'll look forward to having you back again and covering the NBA and sports when you can make it. When you can do it, you're always welcome. And a pleasure having you on. And a great guy, and we loved, previously talking about your experiences with the Harlem Globetrotters, and that whole life, that whole world was just really something else, and I'd love to touch base on that again, maybe down the road. But so we're about ready to rock and roll here, and our Friday show is about to come to an end, and we want to wish everybody a happy, healthy, safe weekend ahead. We're back Monday live at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, wherever time zone that is in the world. And Joe, we're 23 countries right now. 23 countries this show is expanded to. Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I also want to tell your fans and the fans that I've gotten from being a part of your show. Since the last time we talked, I got married.
Whoa! Congratulations, darling.
Oh, my gosh. June 7th, I married my beautiful wife, Jessica. We're just enjoying life, and it's been amazing. And yes, the Harlem Globetrotters are on tour. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com right now. got to enjoy them down at Wildwood, New Jersey over the summer.
Oh, and nice.
Wow. So get on that website, get your tickets. Space is limited for those games as well. And I look forward to having you guys have me on any time. And we're not going to put a number on it. This ain't be coming on the show. So thank you so much. And always, it's always my guest.
Aww.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. I'm grinning like a Cheshire cat over here.
You bet. Always a pleasure, Joe. And we'll definitely be in touch and have you come back on real soon and look forward to those conversations. And look forward to you know, my travels to the East Coast, which I'll start doing more often now. Things are opened up more to meeting you and saying hi and then maybe taking
yes.
a basketball game. It would be great to be able to do.
Send our love to your beautiful wife as well, please.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. No problem at all. We love you, Joe. We love you.
Love you guys more. Trust me.
Great having you on board. And I guess we're about ready to wrap. We're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on the Andy and Amanda Show Monday again to get into the show and share your ideas, your thoughts, tell us a joke, make us laugh, your opinions on anything you'd like to talk about. It's 515-605-9888 anytime. Folks, we'll see you. Amanda, take us home.
Okay, on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself here, Amanda Love in the UK, thank you so much again to Joe Richmond for joining us. We love you. Thank you for coming back. And we want to say, Lee, don't worry. We understand your situation, dude. We get it. Just take care of what you need to take care of. And for you, our listeners, thank you so much for all the love and support. We love you guys. And, you know, have an amazing weekend and join us again on Monday for some more fun and whatever pops up. We never know. So have a great one. Speak to you soon. Take care.
Take care, folks. We'll see you soon. Hey, Joe.